of freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, revolutionradiofreedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com. Visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm in such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace... Stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Not what?
Come here.
What are you going to do? Bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Welcome to Noreen Halpan's Wild at Heart Roundtable Show. I am your host, Noreen Halpan, and I am broadcasting to you live from Southern California, USA, where it is 9 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And on the schedule for Studio A, here on Revolution Radio, on the site support page, this show starts at 12 midnight Tuesday, Eastern Daylight Time. Don't forget, Revolution Radio is a listener support station. That's right, you know that. I think you guys know that and you appreciate it, I know. So, with that, feel free to go on the site support page, hit the donate button, donate money. You can become a Patreon. That's for regular sustaining donations. You can write a check or money order to Revolution Radio, and that would be care of Terry Ackerman. Her address is on the bottom of the page, and she is a staff member of the station. Now, without further ado, lots going on, as usual. I need to give shout-outs to my loyal, loving listeners, and I really love them. So, shout-out to Bob, Darren Dean, and Barbara, Harolyn in Vegas, Selena, Christine, Rudy Krause, Christian, down here in SoCal, Mark, the same, Josh, Paul, Wally, and Dar, and others who have been so supportive of me, and that would be also Nick and Terry, and so many people who have helped me through the years and have been so supportive. I think I got everybody. I think I did get Josh, Paul. Hi, Bob. Yeah, people, this is awesome. Yes, I don't mind helping or giving shout-outs to people because you guys are awesome, and there's all kinds of cool things happening, right? Oh, my God. cute Flippy. You're always making these cute graphics that say wild about Noreen or Noreen and stuff like that. And they usually have cats or other cute animals on them. So I have to save these. I love them that much. You guys should see them. Anyway, so today is September 11th, 2023. And it is the 22nd anniversary of the events on September 11th, 2001 in New York City, USA. Well, you know, you guys, I usually do a show like this every year. You know, the irony is today's September 11th happens to fall on a Monday, which is, yes, right, which is, you know, Monday night's my show. And the thing is that it doesn't always fall, like, in other words, when I do my show on Monday night, it doesn't always fall every year on September 11th. I think it does often. I have to think back on this or look at calendars to see if that's correct. But anyway, nevertheless, whether it does or it doesn't, I will usually do a show either before 9/11 or after if my own show doesn't fall on the actual date of November 11th. It tends to, though, huh? Kind of. I have to think back on that. But anyway, so this is the first September 11th in which a sitting president of the United States has not attended the annual memorial event in New York, Ground Zero, New York City. You know, this most, well, obviously George W. Bush, right? He was the president during that time, so obviously he's been involved with that for a while back then. And I think even Obama did, right? I don't remember not hearing he didn't, and it's been confirmed that every sitting president has attended this Ground Zero Memorial every year. And that would include President Obama. Yeah, exactly. It would include Obama, too. And gosh, why is it that my brain can't think of who else has been president? Well, besides Trump, and he always did, as far as I know. I think all these presidents did, whether they served one or two terms. So if you think about, say, one term, that would be four times. Two terms would be eight times consecutively attending Ground Zero event every year. But guess what, everybody? The man in the White House who defies every conventional, pattern or itinerary that all presidents former to him have always attended and fulfilled, President Joe Biden, was not there today. And since it is, like I said, midnight Tuesday, Eastern Standard Time, where New York City is at, obviously, it is way too late for him to fly in and attend anything commemorating Ground Zero in New York by now. And we all can know or figure that he never intended on attending Ground Zero event in New York. He never did. I mean, probably months prior to today, he sat down with his cabinet, his admin, and said, you know, I don't know if he's running the show. We don't know this. And you guys, seriously, I almost don't like to discuss this because who cares? Because don't forget, whoever is telling him what to do, which is probably the most likely case, he has to okay it. Ultimately, if somebody in his cabinet or somebody gives him suggestions or advice and he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't have to. Okay, but him and his cabinet and people discussed today and whether he should go or not. And obviously, you know, you guys, it is hard to discern whether this was all in his head or not about what to do. But he didn't attend today. And let me just say this. Not only is it the first time in 20 to 22 years since they've been doing this, okay, and since a president, a sitting president, has always never not attended, let's talk about, before we get into other things here, about 9/11. Let's talk about, I forgot to play the national anthem. I'll do that after this little bit about Biden, although I'm going to continue talking about that too a little bit later. Everything Joe Biden has done has been a pattern to humiliate Americans and to demoralize the United States of America, okay? And when I say Americans, I'm also extending that to the world population, the people in this world that have some connection or awareness to, quote, the news in its various forms, okay? So they know, well, why isn't Biden attending Ground Zero event, right? So they're just as shocked and dismayed as any of us Native American-born people, okay? But just to remind you what humiliation is, it is connected to demoralization, which is part of the Marxist quote, right? That's a crazy word, right? Agenda, okay? To take down the United States. So him doing this is actually perfectly in line with that. You know, he dismisses everything that's relevant to the United States, and that includes the citizens. Like, let's harken back to Palestine, Ohio. Is that where that was? Where they had that chemical spill from the railroad crash, and he didn't bother to go there. Trump did go and give people, what, Big Macs or something, which I wouldn't have done that because I'm not into promoting that. But nevertheless, okay, his heart was in the right place. Biden didn't visit there when, by social pressure or national pressure or his cabinet's pressure, he had to go to Maui. He had to make a joke. He had to make a joke about, you know, his kitchen being on fire is a way to tell the victims of Maui, hey, I know how you feel, you know. And then let's not forget when the bodies of dead soldiers were presented in their coffins because of the Afghanistan premature, unplanned debacle pullout of the United States troops, equipment, and supporters, Afghan supporters as well, he was just constantly checking his watch. So even though he was there, he was almost putting the big finger up to all of us, just like he did today, just like he did in Maui, Palestine, Ohio, even though he wasn't there. Okay, same thing with today, the whole thing. You guys, this guy has his middle finger up to us 24/7 since he's been in office. Okay, let's not forget this about him. I don't care. I mean, I care. But I'm not wrapped up in, well, you know, he's just a puppet. Or, well, because I'm always saying he's part of the agenda. Oh, he's part of the agenda. Yes, he is. But, you guys, this is like saying, well, I'm a girlfriend who's used to being slapped by my boyfriend. Even though we're not technically married, and even though I can get out any time, it's still humiliation. Okay, so people who still like and support this president, this guy, they don't even know that they're being humiliated. It's really bizarre to me. But anyway, okay, so, you know, 22nd anniversary of 9/11. So let me play a national anthem by Kelly Clarkson. This is from 2012. But I do, you know, I search around for different versions of the national anthem. And I like a lot of them, but this is one that did kind of appeal to me too. So here we go.
Forward!
Oh, you guys, audio check. Let me know how my audio is. I think it's fine. Thanks. But if not, let me know in chat room or however. Thank you.
Forward! And now, to honor America, two-time Grammy Award winner Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and
just minutes away, Super Bowl 46.
Okay, you guys. That, you know, some Super Bowl performances, whatever, they can't always be good, okay? You know, statistically, probability-wise, you can't always have a good performance. Usually they tend to be, and I'm saying most of the time, not always, but this version of her singing Star Spangled Banner, it was good. And this was 2012, so, you know, it wasn't like back in 2012, it still wasn't so woke, I hate that word, still wasn't so woke where, you know, people were taking the knee or bending the knee at these things. It was still kind of the cool thing and loyal, patriotic thing to do, right? So we didn't see none of that BS, you know, when they comb through obviously the football players playing the Super Bowl. I don't know, you guys, what the teams were for this. Let me look. Does it say? No, it actually doesn't say. But I think we can look up. Let me see. I'll look it up right now, just in case you guys were curious what the year was that she sang that. Well, it was 2012, but who the players were. Okay, this was the New York Giants and the New England Patriots. Very appropriate, because New York was ground zero, and New England, or the East Coast, was, you know, focal point of 9/11. So, yeah, this was very, very, very timely, and that was a good choice on my part. Also, because they did give a shot of troops in Afghanistan watching the Super Bowl and watching and listening to that, to Kelly singing Star Spangled Banner. So that's ironic, considering I just mentioned earlier about the humiliation that Joe Biden put us through by watching his watch constantly when the bodies of soldiers from Afghanistan during that premature pullout were displayed at the I don't know what event that is, you know, I don't know what those are called, but just when they were. And also his part that he played in pulling out, to me, thoughtlessly, okay, that's the term I use, and we know what happened with that. We know how he pulled out prematurely in the sense of not clearing out, right, U.S. troops properly, their supporter, their family, and Afghan supporters, plus all the equipment and everything, you know, and other logistical things, but especially the people, right, the Americans and their supporters. So You know, and then here we see the Afghan soldiers, you know, listening to this song. It's really sad, isn't it? Isn't that sad? So anyway, here is, you see, isn't this amazing? Here there's stories related to 9/11, but I'm coming right back to Biden. Why? Because he is our current sitting president. And he did not, first time historically, a sitting president did not attend a Ground Zero event. This is why this just is in the background of my mind, okay? Not the foreground, the background of my mind when I'm talking about 9/11 here and its anniversary. So, and the Australians too, or no, this is CBS News. Ah, okay. I think this was today. When was this? Yeah, this was today. They also mentioned about how he was a no-show. So here we go.
Marking 22 years since 9/11 with a speech before troops in Alaska later today. He is the first U.S. president to not spend September 11th at one of the attack sites or at the White House. The president is returning from Vietnam, where he met with government and business leaders. He also attended the G20 summit in India. CBS News reporter Bo Erickson joins us now from Anchorage, Alaska, where the president...
That's right. He was in Alaska, but he also, I think from there, because I remember hearing this earlier, he flew to India to attend a climate change summit. Wow, there you go.
We'll speak later this afternoon. So, Bo, what do we know about the administration's decision to have the president in Alaska, not in New York or D.C. or Pennsylvania, and what can we expect to hear from him later today?
So President Biden is the first sitting U.S. president to not honor at a memorial site on the 9/11 attacks on the day. So people may be asking, why Alaska? Why today? And it's really a logistical question. As you mentioned, he is coming back from his summits in Asia. And here in Alaska, this is the first time that he will be on U.S. soil. And this also is where Air Force One usually refuels. So the White House at Joint Base Elmendorf today is trying to build out a large event. They say more than 1,000 service members and their families will attend and listen to the remarks by President Biden. But this decision to have the remarks here in Alaska today is drawing some criticism because of the venue. I spoke with several 9/11 families this weekend about this choice. And one specifically, his name is Brett Eagleson. He runs 9/11 Justice Project that represents families like his who lost someone in 9/11. He said that the optics of today are terrible. And he questioned that after 22 years, if the sanctity of the day is waning, even for the president of the United States.
Painful to hear that from family. So, Bo, we've learned that the president also blocked a potential plea agreement for five of the defendants who were involved in planning 9/11. What more can you tell us about that?
This is an issue that those 9/11 families have really been watching for more than a decade now. And this is the latest. So 22 years after the attack, the five suspected plotters are still awaiting trial in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And this includes the suspected mastermind of the attack, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And so last month, 2,000 9/11 families signed a letter to POTUS because they had been starting to hear whispers that there may be a potential plea agreement for some of these suspected plotters. Now, this case is now under the control of military prosecutors. It has moved out of the Justice Department's hands about a decade ago. However, the president still decided to weigh in, and last Thursday, the White House notified the families and notified the public that President Biden does not support a plea deal for these suspected plotters. But it is important to note that it is not the president's decision. The decision will ultimately be made down in Guantanamo Bay by the military prosecutors.
And before we let you go, Bo, what came out of the president's trip to India and to Vietnam?
So these summits were really focused on growing economic ties. And one win that the president and several other world leaders are touting is this economic corridor that connects India, the Middle East, and Europe. And this will be a connection of shipping and railways. And this really took some diplomatic muscle from the United States and other countries. And just as today, I will mention one of the people that they had to convince was the leader of Saudi Arabia, Crown Prince Mohammed. Mohammed bin Salman. And that focus over the weekend of the president shaking hands with MBS in Asia, the 9/11 family saw that, and they are hoping that the president, while they grow ties with Saudi Arabia, remembers that some documents that the U.S. has released recently by the Biden administration kind of point some fingers at some coordination with some high-level Saudi diplomats, and they hope the president remembers to hold those individuals accountable.
A lot of optics there for the administration to consider. Bo Erickson from Alaska, thank you.
Do you see with these incidents or events, right? You can always trace. I mean, this isn't just because of Biden. Any president is going to have such a network of connections to many politicians. And even if it's like controversial, right? Because of 9/11 and Saudi Arabia, but, you know, I guess that's sort of a given. But yeah, it is sort of weird about the timeliness that it's today, right? Of all days. Where he met up with these officials, including the Saudi one. So whatever. He's just, you want to know something? Who would want to be Joe Biden or any of these crazy globalists? Kamala, Adam Schiff, Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, or if you want to bring up even like, rhinos and Republicans like Pence or Mitt Romney. Okay, the list that goes on of all these people. But you guys really want to be them because they've got like, and I'm not a big person of karma or sin. I'm not too into those things. I guess there's a judgment. I don't know. But you want to be any of these people given, excuse me. It's crazy. Would you want to be any of these people and, you know, at the end of their life, what are they going to be doing or be at? Because they did such harm, right, to all of us, right? Okay? Because we still suffer from the harmful effects of bad people from the past. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, etc., Mussolini, and others, many others, right? We still feel the effects of them, but we're also currently feeling the effects of people that are alive right now that are doing bad things to us, right? So this is why you would not want to be, okay, even though Joe Biden and his son and his family, they got lots of money, right? Therefore, they have a lot of freedom at this moment, but would you really want to be them? You know, I mean, people can hate Trump and say, well, they wouldn't want to be Trump. That's fair enough, too. You know, maybe we don't want to be him either. But would we really want to be Joe Biden or Hunter? Ugh, ew. I don't think so. So, anyway, I'm going to shut that window. The Fullerton Informer, he was talking about the next, quote, 9/11 level event. And he's saying this will be a cyber attack. So let's hear what he has to say about that.
Okay, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is your host, Joe Pano, the Fullerton Informer, coming to you on this evening time from the streets of Orange County, California. Today is Monday, September 11th, 2023. This is your host, Joe Imbriano, otherwise known as the Fullerton Informer. P.O. Box 4121, Fullerton, California, 92834. On the web at thefullertoninformer.com, wifidangers.com, celltowerdangers.com, vaxdangers.com, many other .coms, folks. Well, today is September 11th, 2023. And to all of the people that have been murdered by governments all over the world as a result of false flags and wars and all of these horrendous, terrific things. May their deaths not be in vain, and may the sacrifices of those who have been innocently slaughtered unfortunately be a warning to all of us that we could all be next. You know, I find it so ironic that back in the certificate of vaccination ID-19 operation rollout that officially launched in March of 2020, I found it very odd that a company called MGM Resorts International decided to sell some of the most profitable real estate in the entire world, located on the Las Vegas Strip, just 2.5 months to 3 months before the COVID outbreak began. I believe in November of 2019, MGM Resorts International, which owned at the time, I believe, 13 hotel properties on the Las Vegas Strip. In November of 2019, just 3 or 4 months before the COVID operation was launched, they sold a majority of their hotels to, I believe, BlackRock.
Okay, you guys, again, I knew he was going to lead into BlackRock because what happened in Maui, local natives, they were not willing to sell their property in Lahaina on Maui, right? And then this was just literally prior to the wildfires. So be watchful, not just the Vanguard, but any kind of major real estate transaction. Scope out and check out what it's about, because this is increasing, okay? And it's not going to stop, right? Money, you can't stop big money like that easily, right? It takes a lot of people being very aware and very watchful. Like, this is what is going on with, and we're going to lose our private property rights eventually, okay? That's the goal, right? So anyway.
As a majority stakeholder, and then they leased them back. So they went to an all-cash position on their real estate holdings and began renting 3.5 months before the lockdown. Did you hear what I just said? Well, if MGM Resorts International isn't some sort of barometer as to what we can expect, I don't know what is, simply because today, 9/11, September 11th, 2023, MGM Resorts International, which is still operating many casinos on the Las Vegas Strip, suffered from a cyber attack today, which affected their slot machines, guests' room access, their cards wouldn't open their doors, the credit cards wouldn't work in the restaurants, the reservation systems went down. Ladies and gentlemen, that event that took place today, I believe, was a ritual, and a highly symbolic ritual that is going to usher in a series of major events that are 9/11 level events.
Yes, you guys, I think many of us are kind of onto this, right? That, you know, there's a sense that big things are coming. But really, though, they still operate on a kind of, how can I say this, strategic manner. Like the rollouts are slow to not upset the apple cart too much, right? But see, what they do is they try to accelerate when they feel they can't. So what he's discussing right here, yeah, this is very probable in the upcoming months and years.
Pence, which I believe will be intentional cyber attacks. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand what happens when the electronics stop working. And don't fall for this Donald Trump fan base false narrative. You know, there's a group of people out there that are pushing Trump and pushing this EMP, pushing Russia being behind it and all that. Folks, you need to understand that the cyber attacks don't come from idiots in these countries. They come from the intelligence agencies, okay? And they're also allowed to take place because the back doors in all of the computers and the chips and the systems have been built in by the manufacturers, okay? Now, let's talk about the intelligence agencies. Who is the number one intelligence agency in the world? Well, that would be the Mossad out of Israel. Who is the second most powerful intelligence agency in the world? Well, that would be Pakistani intelligence out of Pakistan, right? So who is the third most powerful intelligence agency in the world? Well, that would be in England, possibly. And by the way, the United States Central Intelligence Agency is down like in fourth or fifth position. And so if that doesn't tell you that we're literally being set up to be the sitting ducks, I don't know who or what does. But my point is, a cyber attack is imminent. As a matter of fact, a majority of cyber attacks that are going to be coming have already been planned in advance, folks. And they're going to happen. And it's not that we can't stop them. You need to understand that these intelligence agencies and these governments all over the world all work together to lock us down in 2020. All work together to push for the vaccine in 2020 and 2021. And all of these governments are signed on to the Antarctic Treaty. They're signed on to all these space programs. They're signed on to all this central banking. They're signed on to these militaries as they fight these so-called fake wars to create these pretexts so they can have their terrorist attacks that they can blame on the boogeyman that they want to blame as they plunge the targeted peoples into chaos, and they give the pretext to preemptively attack innocent nations. And that is extremely frightening, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason I'm doing this video is because simply just given the symbolism that stares me in the face go unnoticed, it's not getting the news it needs to get. You know, there is a group of people out there that are these loyal Trump supporters that are telling you to prep for an EMP and, you know, this. By the way, I might as well tell you, there is no such thing as an electromagnetic pulse weapon that they can detonate over the United States and knock out all the electronics, okay? There's no such thing as that stuff, all right? Now, there are things like cyber terrorists who get trained in high school before they graduate on how to perform such things as a condition of their graduation in countries all over the world. They can take out the computer systems remotely, and they can take them out remotely and selectively because the back...
Yeah, you guys, over and over again, I mean, I'm not the only one, but I have said that our ultimate enemy with this whole agenda to be general, is the tech world of technology, right? Which is a modern thing, right? Because computer technology in particular has only been, perfected, improved upon, promoted in the last 20 years. I mean, but I guess if you really want to get, and I'm not very technical, as you guys know, but if you really want to get into the history, I guess what, going back maybe more half a century when this stuff was percolating and a lot of us, a lot of people didn't necessarily know about it, but it was a percolating on the upscale science, right? Computer science. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess we can go back to what, World War II maybe? Something like that, okay? Correct me if I'm wrong. About the beginnings of the proliferation of computer technology. Okay, not the implementation like we have now, obviously, but, kind of like the beginnings of putting it into practice, into effect. So, really, the Marxist revolutions of Russia, which was like, 1912, 13, 14, 15, all that, and then in China and other countries that followed, because they think so far ahead, they obviously couldn't implement computer technology in mass at that time because it just wasn't perfected to what we have now then, obviously. But I think they must have gotten the memo that, hey, this computer thing is going to get improved and prolific, and it will be used, and it will be used for the agenda. I'm sure they got the memo back in like the 30s or 40s that was going to come down the line later. So if you think about the fact that they kind of knew that this might be something they can use, okay, it would be sort of like if you had a delivery company and you got a memo back in the 80s and 90s that, hey, there's this thing called drones and it's in the works, it's going to be perfected, and eventually they will be used for delivery. Just being very general here, right? And so then people that were the top of the level in that industry, delivery or whatever, they took a mental note of that and said, oh, okay, this is something we might want to be on top of when it starts to come in. So, and now, I don't know if they're really doing it now. I think they're starting to, right? I don't know, whatever. There's a lot of issues with that, right? Who knows? So point I'm making, though, is I think that these agenda people, with the governments of this world, they knew that something was going to happen to where they could do this. I think they had a feeling that they were going to be able to control people globally. That's what I think. They didn't know exactly the details of how. But they were probably looking forward to technology growing because they knew that would be in their favor. So I think, really, you guys, the ultimate, I hate to say this, because humans like technology because it's helpful. Okay? It makes some things easier, convenient, and so forth. But the very negative end is it's going to be our destruction if we don't understand A, that it's literally being used for nefarious purposes, and B, how they're going to use it, which obviously by now many of us have figured it's going to be what Joe was just talking about, but also the more personal, harmful, hurtful, dangerous aspect of freezing your bank account, which he might be bringing up, I'm just guessing, who knows, here in this talk is, because the freezing of your bank account, surveillance, that's bad enough, right? Oh, yeah, your timeline says you were at this restaurant last week and you took a drive up to, Seattle, Washington a few days ago. And, that's already bad enough, right? Or here's your transaction list of the last 48 hours. Here's your market A, B, your department store C, your Amazon D, you know, SCF, whatever. Okay, so these are already bad enough. But the ability to freeze your bank account, to know your medical records, number one, freeze your bank account is got to be the worst. Because then you do something they don't like. You don't take a certain medical procedure that the government wants you to take, or you vote for, or you endorse, you publicly endorse certain political candidates, whatever the reason, frozen bank account until you change your mind or action, course of action. We are freezing your account for now. You've been warned. So, you know, you guys, that's got to be the worst of the worst, right? Amongst other bad things. I mean, yeah, there's such a thing as war or traditional warfare, and that can happen and whatever. Okay, I'm not discrediting that, but let's face it. Well, then there's other things like BlackRock buy up your property, make you homeless. You don't want to teach your kids. You don't want to take them to school because all these evil curriculums. So there's so many things that are threatening society, which is made up of us people and our country here in the United States that I am speaking of, and other countries across the world. Okay, don't think, and I've said this before on my show, and I'm not trying to dissuade people from doing what they feel they are destined to do, but never believe 100% that just because you're an American, if you want to get out of Dodge and you move to Mexico or Thailand, that you and your descendants have it made, you're going to have no more problems anymore. No, globalism doesn't work like that. Whatever you escape, eventually, if it's not you, maybe your descendants, your friends, neighbors, they're going to feel some kind of wrath, even though you physically moved across the world. Doesn't matter. Another thing, too, speaking of the freezing of bank accounts and surveillance, so what if you do move? And I'm not trying to put down people who move. I know it sounds like I am, but I'm not. I'm just saying that never think that you can escape this agenda unless you literally stand with other human beings and speak out and do something. Otherwise, it ain't going to stop. So what I'm getting back to saying here about, or where was I? Okay, about the never being able to escape. So even if we're not going way ahead here, even if we don't need to go 50 or 60 years down the road, but if an American, please, it's not a personal attack or a judgment, but if an American moves to Mexico or Thailand or whatever, where it's cheaper and maybe they're not as harassed or there's not as many laws or bureaucracy, okay, that's fine for now, but, you know, you might be, they could surveil you. It doesn't matter. If you're an American citizen, for example, they could, or a Chinese citizen, just fill in the blank, okay? They could track you if they want, no matter where you go. So you're not totally safe from surveillance just because you moved to another country. You're also not safe from them freezing your bank accounts. Hello? Because, for example, okay, it doesn't really matter the origin of your country, whether it be Europe, Japan, America, United States. If you go to another country to live, they could surveil you. A, they can also still freeze your bank accounts. B, and C, then you can say, well, I'm not dealing with a bank account, but realize if your income is connected to your country of origin, okay, whether it be Social Security, whether it be stocks and bonds even, I suppose, or IRAs or whatever, right, pensions, if it's rooted out of your country of origin, they could look into that. They could maybe even stop that, maybe, because these are still financial transactions. So my whole point is that no matter what country you're from, no matter what country you go to, in this modern world of technology, okay, because this, I'm speaking on behalf of all human beings here, okay, in this modern world of technology, you're never free from the eye of Big Brother. Fill in the blank of the country doesn't matter anymore. Maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, it mattered a little bit more that you are from a certain country and you relocate or start a business to another country or network with other peoples in other countries. It's not, but now, you know, no matter who you are, where you're going to, They could track you. This is just what it is. So these people who make videos about, well, I did this, well, I moved here, well, I'm doing this now, fine. But that's not the end of the story. There's more to it because of this technical world we live in, that you may, if you're lucky, be not harmed by this, hopefully, by anything that I just mentioned. But because we live in this kind of world, you can be. I'm not saying you will, but you can be. So anyway.
Stores have been built into all these electronics. Now, what can we expect from such a scenario? Well, a cyber attack will be probably strategically placed in an area that would involve several cities at once to really freak everybody out. And let me tell you one of the reasons why I believe they're going to do this. Because the internet as we know it today, ladies and gentlemen, is far beyond serving its usefulness to these controllers. It was created as a double-edged sword to monitor everyone's thinking and speech and behavior and whereabouts and location. And it existed as a two-way street of information flow. And they're done with all the intel gathering, and that's why the reasons for the masks last so long, because they were testing out the facial recognition systems with the masks on all over the place. And they're done letting us talk to each other and get all this information off the internet. So when they run their cyber attacks, first and foremost, it's going to be so bad. And people are going to die from this, folks. Because power is going to go out. There's going to be riots. Water's not going to work. Sewer systems aren't going to work. Banks aren't going to have any money to create access. The grocery stores won't be open. The gas registers won't work. And people...
Okay. He just also described the scenario, as I was saying earlier. Okay, technical, surveillance, harming of people... he's talking about the shutting down of systems. So this is an act of war, as I mentioned war, right, earlier, a war against us, what he's talking about. So, I am going to tell you the truth, okay, about me, and I'm not the only one. You guys are equal to me. I'm equal to you. We're all equals here, no matter who's listening. It doesn't matter what your gender is, your race, your economic level. You could be working hard and barely paying your bills and listening to me right now. Or you could be very well off and you're just lounging around, eating your grapes. I'm just being funny here. And listening to me. It doesn't matter because we're still in a society here where, they can wage a war on us in the way that he described. That's an act of war right there. Okay? You don't have to drop a bomb. Did I say that earlier? But it doesn't matter. You don't have to drop a bomb on people in that conventional way. Okay, or go shooting them with a gun. You can do what he's talking about. And truthfully, what I was trying to say really is, I don't want to be alive to have to experience this myself or watch other people suffer through this. Am I being cowardly? I don't know. I almost don't care. I don't want to experience it or see it. Because to me, if they're going to do a conventional war and kill us with a bomb, that might actually be better than this thing he's talking about. Seriously. Okay. So my philosophy, and I've said it before, is just to enjoy life right now. I have to do what I need to do every day. We all do. Okay. But one of the key things is to enjoy life because, whatever your remaining days are, whatever they amount to and what they mean, I think what they mean is extremely important. And I hope all of you listening are fortunate enough. I hope we are all fortunate enough to not have to. Okay, if we're meant to survive this thing he's talking about and be okay afterwards, okay, fine. Maybe that's your, I hate using the word karma, or your destiny. Maybe that's your karma, your destiny. Maybe you were meant to survive that and be okay. I don't know. But the fact that they can do this to us, period, is very disturbing, right? It's almost like living in a war-torn country, right? Because our idea of war may or may not be what we think traditionally. That's another thing that we have to think about. Oh, my God. Okay, 2 more minutes till top of the hour. So break will be coming in a couple of minutes. Okay, you guys, so basically we have to rethink how we see the world. Because I think in the past we're kind of used to, well, if a country goes through war and they're war-torn, they can still, quote, rebuild and re-enter the global society. We've seen this with all the major wars. All these countries have rejoined and maybe in some ways really gotten better, right? Japan, Germany, the U.S. You know, after World War II, for example, all these countries had a higher standard of living, okay? And even if you look at Vietnam with the Vietnam War, I would bet to say that the Vietnamese now, and this has nothing to do with the, quote, war in Vietnam, okay? This is just that they experienced it. They were war-torn in some ways. But now, for whatever the reason, I don't want to talk about China or Japan or U.S., but they're probably doing better in some ways just because of the proliferation of technology and so forth. So, you know, the point I'm making is, well, what's the world going to look like? What is a world going to look like when traditional war is not necessarily the only means of inflicting problems? You know, if this is a technological war, which he's talking about the shutting of systems, that's like controlling you beyond just your country being war-torn. Okay, this is a long-range, ongoing warfare, I think, is what he's talking about, or the possibility of. Okay, there's the music. This is Noreen Halfan, Wild at Heart, Roundtable Show. Be right back. Stay tuned.
It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
You're listening to the Wild at Heart Roundtable with Noreen Helpan, only at Revolution Radio.
Welcome back to Noreen Helpan's Wild at Heart Roundtable Show. So, before the break, I was discussing about we're living in an era, right, where it's not like you have a war and then you heal and then you grow and you get back to normal, quote, right? Or the new normal, right, is kind of what happened back back after World War II, when so many countries bounced back, and I hate you. What is that stupid mean? Build back better. God damn it. Anyway, right. But that actually, if you think about, and look, I'm not actually any longer a proponent of these wars. Like, you know, people say, oh, World War II, that was worth it. And I don't really believe that now, but I'm just saying that how they planned the outcome is interesting, because you could almost say there was a Build Back Better phenomena after World War II, where so many countries involved in that very war did way better than prior, sort of, right? Anyway, so, but now we're not on that destroy and then build back better mode anymore, right? This is where the, quote, normie people probably have trouble comprehending what, you know, what this is. There isn't going to be any going back to normal. They want to destabilize the world. So they don't need to do traditional warfare to do that. They just need to control people with technology. So it's an ongoing attack on the world, systems, political paradigms, societies, and humanity itself. This is an ongoing thing, right? So it's not about, oh, we went through that war, and I can talk about it. Maybe my mom can. Maybe my kids can. And this is how we ended up a lot better. And this is not the trajectory. This technology that we have in this world now is just because of the controllers, right? It is about destroying and controlling humanity. So let me get back to Fullerton Informer.
People will be screaming for a new internet that this can't happen on. I've already got it ready to go. And it's going to be one that's going to be controlled centrally by the government. And they're going to tell us that until we relinquish all of our anonymity, these events will be something they can't stop. So in order for us to emerge from this post-cyber attack world, we have to have a complete system of command and control, centralized information dissemination, and centralized control over the infrastructure, which already exists to an extent. But there are a lot of weak links and a lot of plugins and a lot of backdoors to the system the way it is right now. So you're going to hear a lot about hardening our systems, and that means centralizing its access and control. That's the ultimate goal, aside from creating the pretext to attack whatever country they want and to use the military to bomb places back to the Stone Age like they did 22 years ago after 9/11, where millions of people have been murdered who had nothing to do with anything that happened on that day. That's a different discussion.
Yeah, you know, now I think is a time to get into what he just mentioned. And you guys, please, I'm not one of these people that believes in retributive karma or events, okay? I don't care what race you are, what country of origin or whatever. I'm not into that. But, you know, so I'm not saying, well, us Americans, quote, deserve, quote, what's happening to us now. Because, yeah, like he stated, you know, our government got our military involved in situations in the Middle East, in countries in the Middle East where we used our military to get involved and bombed some of these countries and the cities in them and whatever, and killed people, like he said. So I am not for that. And I do believe that's, But now that I know what I know, I'm believing that's, you know, part of the destabilization efforts. The destabilization of the Middle East and of this country, for example, or allies involved. Okay, when I say this country, I have to throw in Australia, some of the countries in Europe like England, even some countries in Asia like Japan. You know, understand, or Canada over here, our neighbor. So, you know, this is not just about one country, one government. This is global. So you're going to have this complex network of governments, military, people, corporations involved in destroying parts of this world. So I guess, and I hate to phrase it this way, maybe it's our turn now to suffer this. And I'm not saying this is good at all, because America, for the most part, has been a positive society that tries to help its citizens up until now, you know, and even help other people living in other parts of the world. We have to remember that despite this horrible situation that we've been going through with the Middle East and our, quote, you know, aspects of occupying and destroying. Right. And one of the weird things is, yeah, because it's been destroyed, some of those refugees have to find new homes in Europe or here. So you understand, destabilization doesn't only favor one country. Remember that. OK. Nor does it only destroy one country. Its tentacles are out there and does it all. Right? Does it all, you guys. Okay? So, you know, the point is that he's right, and I think so. But now the stakes are higher. If you look at things globally, Yeah, you know, it's different. If you look at things globally, it's vast. The damage is big, right? It is. The damage is not just to one center point. It's not. It now the ripple effect of damage extends. It will, even though you don't see it now, will extend to other countries. Bad things happen in one country or one region now will extend. It will extend to others, including us here in the U.S. So please do never think, just because I am a patriotic proponent of the United States, that I don't see what's going on, because I do. And I do know what a ripple effect is. And I do understand how these events affect other places. Okay. So anyway, here we go with more of Fullerton Joe.
A cyber attack can happen anywhere at any time and leave you stranded, leave you without access to your money, your access to freely travel, your access to communicate with your family, your loved ones, your friends. And that is going to be extremely painful, and that is by design. They can shut off the power, and they can shut off the water, and they can shut off the sewage systems. And so why am I making this video? Number one, so you'll know what's coming. And
yeah, someone in chat is saying, is he from OC? Yes, he is. He does. That's why he calls himself the Fullerton Informer, because he literally does live in Fullerton. And he does. I think the Huntington thing is more like a lot of us who grew up around here, you know, going to Huntington Beach in our youth, or he was at some of the rally type events that happened during the beginning of COVID. So true to all that. I don't know if he's an insurance company worker or employee. I'm not sure about that, but that could be true. That could be very true.
And number two, so you'll know why it's coming. And number three, so you can get out in front and prepare. The cyber attacks will be temporary. They will be strategic. They may run them in a large city. They may run them in a small town. They may run them sporadically in different key places. But the desired effect will be a form of psychological warfare that will leave the American people screaming for government intervention to rescue them from what will happen. And let me tell you, the solution that the government...
See, this is... Again, he just was basically saying what I was saying, right? My goodness. Wow. I can't believe this, but yeah, the government is, they're playing a mind game, but it's not a good one, obviously, but yeah. But this stuff, this kind of event that he's talking about can be ongoing. Oh, you guys have been good, so we're not going to do this to you again for another year. But wait, if anybody steps out of line, we're going to do it again. So see, this is part of this.
The government's proposal is always twice as bad as the problem, if not exponentially worse. You need to have alternate forms of communication, such as CB radios, such as ham radios, such as handheld walkie-talkies. They could jam those frequencies, but it's not likely. You need to have alternative sources of electricity, as battery backups with inverters, or a generator that runs on propane or gasoline, or solar panels that run batteries that are hooked up to an inverter. You need to have flashlights. You need to have water filters. You need to have trash bags to put your poop and pee into, and buckets with lids on them. You need to have food stored up. You need to have a way to heat your food if the power's out. You need to have firefighting equipment like fire extinguishers. You need to have water to rinse your body and your teeth and clean your dishes. You need to have the ability to survive and operate for a period of time without the increments that they literally have gotten us so addicted to that have turned everybody so soft. You see, the biggest element of their effectiveness in the cultural and the social revolution and the changes and the reorganization and the restructuring that they have planned for us is directly proportionate to the amount of pain they inflict on us and the amount of fear they can instill in us. Okay? So the more shock and awe, the more we yield and cave to their demands. Now, the artificial intelligence has been around for a very long time, ladies and gentlemen. There's been a lot of AI for a very long time, and they've just released it slowly to the point now where, you know, all the students are cheating on all their English and their writing assignments, and the internet is being flooded with websites where the AI is writing all these articles and all these chat rooms. You have the AI bots that are, you know, trolling and putting out disinformation. And a lot of the news stories are generated by AI. Even some of the news coverage and the anchor men and women are AI generated. They're not even real people. But the reason that they're leaking and drip marketing us and bottle feeding us AI now is because they're going to tell us that the AI is going to be responsible for some of these cyber attacks as well. And just so you know, computer networks and computer systems work. There are trillions of lines of code in stuff, and you know, if you got a few digits that are corrupted, you know, the thing can go haywire, folks. And you know, I will tell you that in cybersecurity, in that industry, anyone in that industry will tell you that we are always reactive, creating patches to the problems, and not proactive because we don't know what the next move is going to be. So if you can imagine these intelligence agencies having the advantages that they have and always being one step ahead, that will clearly demonstrate our vulnerabilities to only react and not prevent what they have planned for us. If you live in a cold region, you need to be able to have an alternative source of heating if the power goes out, an alternative source of communication. You do not want to be in a situation where you can't heat your home, you can't cook your food, and you don't have water. These problems are not difficult to compensate for, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you something right now. The next time you drive by somebody getting rid of their washing machine or their dryer, stop your car and look and see if it has a steel or a stainless steel drum. And if it does, take that thing and throw it in your car, go get your buddy's truck and bring it home and take that thing apart and take the drum out of it and put it in your backyard and wait to use it for a fire pit. You can cook on that. It would be like a...
Wow, these are good solutions. I hate to say this, you guys, but some of us, quote, when I say single women, I mean women living single in a home, okay? That's basically my definition of that. And I know friends that are even worse off than me because they literally have nobody. Okay. Because having my mom that I'm taking care of her. It's like there's nobody in the home. Now I don't want to get into this, but yes, I have help, but it's not everyday help, which is the best you can get. But I have friends worse off. They don't even have that at all. It's complicated. But anyway, so this is why it's important for men and women, yes, men and women, to get along and be friends and network, whatever. Because us ladies, sometimes we might need male help at any given time. I kind of have it. I do. But Some of my friends don't. But see what he's saying here, right? I do have it. It's not every day, though, but I have it. Anyway, but what he's saying here is like, oh, you know, you see something like that washer dryer, and if it's stainless steel in the middle and it's good, yeah, get your buddy, get a truck, and haul it into your backyard. Okay, this is why we need, we collectively female, whatever your status is, you need male help if you don't have it now. I more or less have it, but those that don't have it that are listening, you might want to start to get it. You may want to save your money to where if the person is not a boyfriend, husband, or a friend even, that you may have to pay the person to help you. That's okay, right? I was just discussing this to a friend of mine that doesn't have any help. Well, I wouldn't say that, but almost. And I'm like, well, when you get more money, you may want to pay your neighbor to do A, B, C, D. Yeah, so this is the kind of world we're living in. We're not, you know, we can't, it's not like the old days to where money meant everything. And even if you were a divorced single woman in the middle of a huge city and you just pay for every kind of help, right? I mean, even if you live in an apartment, what he's saying here applies in any sense. If you live in an apartment, you're kind of screwed though, huh? Think about it. If you're in an apartment, you can't really do a lot of the things that he's even, well, you could do some of it. You can't do what he just mentioned here, though. Why even have a fire pit? Like, how are you going to do that if you're in some massive apartment? Ain't going to work. So apartment life was not designed for your survival. Man, this is, you guys, I know people that live in them. You guys, some of you live in them. And you know, I'm not dissing you at all. You know, but you do know some of your limitations. It's just the way it is. God, they really want us to be. Now, there's resourceful people that even living in apartments, as some of you do, you guys still know what to do. You still know how to have or create your own water. You know, you can't have well, but yeah, whatever. I can't either. But, you know, point is you could do something that's going to help you. But, yeah, there are certain things that you can't do. But saying that, even in a house, if you don't have any kind of yard, which a lot of the newer houses don't really, maybe you have enough to do what you need, though, right? But you have your garage, at least, and a little patch of yard. So point I'm making is, you know, the ideal is to have a house with a big lot, wherever it is. It could even be in a suburb or especially rural area, more better. But, you know, those with a lot of land, yeah, you guys have more advantage. That's just the way it is. But, you know, again, they designed our lives for decades to go in different directions. So if you enjoy living in the city, suburb, or the farmlands, wherever you're at, it's fine. Make the best of it. Because I'm not a lifestyle, you know, criticizer. I'm just saying how things are.
Stove, if you put a grill on it or a pot in it, you can live without the accoutrements if you're prepared in advance and understand that they are going to run these on a short-term intermittent basis to freak everybody out. Now, they've got everybody out there thinking that there's these electromagnetic pulse weapons, right? That will, they put it in the movies, so, you know, when you think the power goes out, they're going to tell you that the power went out all over the United States, whatever. They're going to lie to you.
Yes, Jim Jones, mom is doing fine. Thanks for asking.
About everything, folks. You need to have hand saws, chainsaws, you know, any type of wood cutting equipment so you can cut up wood and burn it if you're in the cold. You need to have water stored up, a water filtration device.
Which the irony, again, you guys, I swear I'm not making fun. I'm just saying the irony is if you live in a massive apartment complex in a city or even a suburb, chopping wood and burning it is not going to work. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
To filter tap water, to filter water you have stored. Every time you throw away a 1 gallon milk bottle or a 2 liter soda bottle, you're throwing away the potential of water storage. If you have a water filter And I'm not talking about a reverse osmosis that requires a municipal water supply's pressure. I'm talking about if you have like a one of those gravity filters, you can buy them on the internet. You can dump bad water into that thing and out of the spigot will come drinkable water. You don't need that much water to survive, but you do need clean water to survive. You need water to wash dishes, wash your body, and deal with the inconvenience that can be a protracted event. We don't know. All I know is it's their next move, I believe. I think they've beat the heck out of the virus thing for a little while, although it's still out there. But I do think from a symbolic gesture that was displayed today, I think that's their next move, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't want this warning to go unheeded. Preparation steps are very simple, folks. You need to have canned food, can openers, alternative sources of lighting, such as flashlights, candles. You need to have a communication system. You can get CB radios on the internet, handheld CB radios for $40 or $50. You need to be able to communicate with your family. Now, they don't go very far. They may go a mile or two, but that's better than nothing, okay? I mean, some of you don't get that far away from your family members, and it can make all the difference in the world if you do. You need to have a set of shoes in your car that you can walk home if the traffic signals go out and the power goes out and traffic is gridlocked. You need to have a backpack in your car with some water and some weapons in it if you have to defend yourself on your way home. If you're stuck somewhere when this happens, you have to have a blanket and some food in your car in case you're stuck and you can't get home. You need to have these things on your person, folks. Your car should have enough stuff in the car if you get stuck somewhere for a couple of days, or if you have to walk home and foot it for whatever your commute distance is from your home. And you need to have enough supplies in your home to hold you up for at least a couple of weeks. You do yourself a favor. If you wish, you can do a dry run by shutting off your water and shutting off your electricity and living for a day or two without those.
Well, I've had it to where we had 5 days here at this house. This is a while back, of no electricity. So yeah, the refrigerator went. That was kind of a hassle, but everything else worked, thank God. But so I know what he's talking about with that part. Yeah, so whatever for that, just that one aspect.
Two things, and you will immediately find out exactly what you need. Because once those things are turned off, the void will immediately present itself and make itself apparent as to what are absolute necessities for your continued survival and existence given the potential circumstances we face, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, most importantly, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of His Holy Spirit, and the faith in Almighty God the Father will sustain us as we go into these times, ladies and gentlemen, which I believe, unfortunately, are an inevitability, given the amount of time and effort that they have spent preparing us to become this vulnerable and this dependent on technology. It has been leading up to this for a long time. The ultimate goal from this will be absolute total control, facial recognition, digital currency, a government-controlled, highly censored internet. And these are the things that they are going to demand we acquiesce to. We need to be prepared to defend our families in our homes, in our properties, in our apartments, in our condos, in our mobile homes, and if you're living on a boat, if you're living in your motorhome, you need to be able to defend yourself from marauders, attackers, and criminals. That can involve a variety of defensive weapons, all the way from knives and hatchets and axes to firepower, folks. There are many ways to devise a defense strategy. Hopefully, by warning enough people and by sharing this message, we can get enough people awake and prepared that will put a dent in the bedlam that they're going to attempt to establish to get us to go along with their plan. I'm not here to freak you out. They're the ones that are the experts at freaking you out, because that's all they do every night on the news and with the moves. Everything now is satanic possession movies and bombings and killings and murders and ghoulish, demonic, devil-worshipping video games and everything else. So don't...
Yeah, you guys, I don't know about you, but I was talking to some friends lately. I no longer can or I'm interested in watching, like, horror movies. I'm not putting down horror movies, okay? I used to be able to watch them. I can't watch them anymore. What's the symbolic gesture he's talking about? I'm not sure. Sorry. Anyway, So I can't anymore. How about you guys? Can you? I can't. I think we're living under too much right now to where it's like, why even bother being, you know, superficially upset, right? So to speak. So, yeah. So there you go.
Don't give me a hard time about trying to be realistic and prudent in these times ahead. All right, folks, that's enough. This has been your host, Joe Imbriano. This is September 11th, 2023.
Okay, that's enough of that. So that was a pretty good video. Wow. I think he covered a lot of important things that are probably true for this time that we're in. Morocco, the earthquake, my goodness. It just seemed like yesterday there was a major earthquake in Turkey, right? Or the part of Turkey that's close to Iraq, I think. You know, you have to remember, different parts of Turkey are kind of different. The European part of Turkey, would like where I think Istanbul is part of that side, that would be more like, not literally like Greece, but kind of like Greece. Let's just say maybe like Greece with an Islamic tint to it. Something like that, right? And then the Middle Eastern side of Turkey might be more like Iraq. I think that's the area where that huge earthquake happened a little while back. I think that one is bigger than this one. But still, it could have been done on purpose. Who knows, right? It's very friggin' weird. And of course, they want to roll out another... I call it part two, COVID part two, right? They want to do that again. And I don't think I need to talk much about it because I think we already can imagine what they might, quote, try again. But there's going to be a lot of resistance, right? More than last time. And that's maybe why these things like Joe's talking about, or similar things to that, are probably up in the works now, because they can't really pull the COVID narrative like they did before. Yeah, right? So, you know. So much for that. I found a Tim Pool video about the indictment process of Donald Trump, and not just Donald Trump, but politicians that the agenda doesn't like. You know, most of them tend to be Republican or conservative, or however you want to view it, are being attacked under indictment and so forth. And this video is speaking about a grand jury voted to indict Republican senators. So it's really starting to get like a big deal now.
TimCast.com. Fulton County Special Grand Jury voted to indict Lindsey Graham and two other GOP senators. Wow. The special grand jury in Fulton County, Georgia, recommended charges against former President Trump, 18 of his associates, as well as South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, as well as Georgia Republican Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. It is only because I think it doesn't serve the political ends of the Democratic Party that they overlooked these elements of these individuals in the indictment. For what purpose are they going to go after these individuals? Is it going to help them remove Trump? No. They went after Trump's staff and his lawyers. Here's what matters. Ian brings up a good point. The DA did not take that step. However, I push back on this. The DA took the most extreme step of arresting Trump and Trump's lawyers. This shows the political nature of the indictments. What if the grand jury said these people, as well as the other 18 plus Trump, should be indicted, and finally goes, not these three. It shows you that everything she's doing is purely political.
Mm-hmm.
It also shows you in these districts, it doesn't matter what is true. A grand jury will indict sitting members of the Senate if asked to. That is the sentiment of touching grass. This is the funny thing about when people say, oh, go touch grass. They're like, you mean like a grand jury that tried to indict three Republican members of the Senate? Those are regular people that are called in for jury duty, are given evidence and said, would you criminally charge members of the Senate? They said, absolutely. So you want to go talk to regular people? I'm telling you, man, people are ready. People are angry. And of course, it's never going to be 90% or 80%. But I think the American Revolution was, the colloquial term was a third for, a third against, and a third don't care. It's actually more like closer to 40% were in favor of, closer to like 20-some-odd percent were opposed, and the plurality was like, we just don't care at all.
If we were going to have, if there's going to be an American Revolution too, it would just be like the Constitution is written so that we can revolve the laws and create an internal revolution without having to overthrow the government. So like it would be a technical revolution, which we're kind of seeing with the internet, but like
it wouldn't be like an attack.
It would be a change in the system.
It doesn't have to be cool. But it was naive of the founding fathers to assume that men in power would agree to give it up because it was written on a piece of paper.
I don't know. I think that's a bit of an overstatement that they were unaware that men.
Well, considering the statements of Thomas Jefferson, I know. Like they were very serious about what happens to countries. Although it is true that Jefferson walked that back, the Tree of Liberty statement, and said that's a little bit too egregious. Because
that was pre-war talk.
It was also pretty specific on a time frame, which was a little aggressive. It was 20 to 30 years. He said
he saw what happened in France. Right, because
year did he say that? Oh, sorry,
I'm not sure exactly what year he said it, but the point is, like the French Revolution that happened like right around. It started like right around or after the
1807.
And they were, you know, there were Americans that were going over there and talking to the French because there was all this talk of liberty and stuff. The French Revolution.
Oh, it began in 1789.
Yeah, it was an S show. All right, it was a total S show.
Constitution?
No, the French Revolution.
Oh, right.
But it was an absolute
actually,
show.
Same year as the Constitution and the formation of the United States.
Not a coincidence.
Within a couple of years, they just started killing everybody. The word terrorism comes from the French Revolution. The terror is what they called it. And that was just slaying people for the horrible crime of not being enough.
Robespierre went full Mickey Mouse Fantasia, dancing people to the guillotine one by one.
Psychos. And it was nuts. And so anyway,
this is what people need to understand about things like this. A grand jury voted to indict these men. The DA decided not to do it. The DA went after the president and his lawyers. So the DA took a more extreme action. And I think it shows, as I stated earlier, this is political. The important factor here is that it shows that regular people also want to see these things done. Mm-hmm. That's what people need to understand about where this goes, and I will say it right now. There is one strong action that can be taken to stop it all. A couple, actually. First, the indictments against Trump should be dropped, and Joe Biden should pardon the January Sixers. And that is how, when you're trying to resolve a conflict, you have to be the one to make the compromise.
And that would take so much of the wind out of the sails of the current Trump campaign and the entire right at the moment. Like, I seriously don't think it's ever going to happen.
But because they're exacerbating. I mean, these personalities are saying more, 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 no matter what.
Yeah.
Would you do the same? Would you pardon Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, Hillary
Clinton? I didn't say Joe Biden.
No, I'm asking if you would. Because like you said, you have to be the first one to make the first move if you want to end this conflict. Would you be the one to do that?
So let's slow down and talk about the specifics of charges against Trump over January 6th and the people on January 6th. If Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton were criminally charged and the Democratic Party, the DNC, over the Steele dossier and those moves that were made against Trump with Russiagate, I would sit down with me personally and say, all of that goes away, we're done, and the J6 stuff is done, and we start here and we try and figure it out.
I see it like that. I see it as it has to be
not the
connected.
Burisma stuff.
It can't be like even Burisma.
No, nope.
I don't think you can get a prisoner exchange without offering a pardon to Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and Hillary. Like, think of it as a prisoner exchange. If you can't find compassion and do it because you just want, you think it's a good move, think of it as like we're trading victims here to try to end this as with a white piece or something.
That would require them getting into some sort of legal trouble in the first place.
Right. The issue is there's nothing to drop as of right now.
With Hillary? Well, you preemptively pardon her for this email scandal, having Sidney Blumenthal, having him set up Osprey Global Solutions in Libya.
What's the point of pardoning Hillary Clinton when she wasn't even prosecuted? Like,
there's, to guarantee that she won't be prosecuted in the future.
There's no chance that she's getting prosecuted.
Well, I think they feel like if Trump gets into office, they'll all get prosecuted.
I don't think Hillary will get prosecuted, but a lot of people are going to if Trump gets in.
If she didn't get prosecuted the first time he was in office, right. If it wasn't happening then, it's
well, I don't know. Trump is maybe about to go scorched earth.
Now, I'm not saying that I don't want Hillary Clinton to get prosecuted either. Like, I hear your argument, and I totally disagree. I want to put all those sons of bitches in jail. So that's just me, though.
And there lies the challenge. They want to put all the J6s in jail.
Yeah.
And the only way we move forward right now is, for one, there are no charges against Democrats for everything they did with Russiagate and the Steele dossier, so it's a moot point. They would need to lay down their attacks and say, we're going to chill out right now and give a little and stop attacking so much.
The fact that
the Republicans aren't doing anything. There's nothing for the Republicans to stop doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we say, like, hey, there's current active hostilities in lawfare. We're asking the Democrats stop. The Republicans haven't done anything, so, you know, next question. Have they filed criminal charges against any of the Democrats over the Steele dossier? Not over anything related to Russiagate and those lies? Has anyone done a deep investigation into what would happen with Ukraine Gate and collusion between government and private law to go after Trump for subversion of our government? Was there a sedition charge? Nothing. So all that's happening now is, yeah, we're not throwing any stones over here. We're asking you to stop. If they don't, then that I look, man, it's not about what should happen. What should happen is an election happens in 2024. The right person for the job wins and everybody says, OK, well, you know, we'll try again next time. That's not possible.
That brings up an interesting question, I think. Do you think there ever will be charges brought in the future over what's going on in Ukraine right now as far as, like, the Biden involvement
yes,
and the money laundering?
Yes, if Trump wins.
So? Really? OK, well.
Well, I'll put it this way. I believe that there is a probability it happens if Trump wins. Outside of that, no. And that could be 17%. You know what I mean?
Right. I bet Joe Biden will pardon Hunter the day before he leaves office.
Oh, yeah, of course.
He'll pardon Hunter and Hillary. He might pardon a bunch of them.
Yep. Of course he will.
That's what presidents
history. So that's why that's why we got to pardon them first. That's my point.
I miss the entertaining days when the president would just pardon rappers and shit.
Yeah, like, man.
Well, Trump did.
If they're untouchable, like, play the game. Be like, okay, you're untouchable.
The issue right now
I agree.
If they are going after Donald Trump in his first term to falsely accuse him of being a Russian spy, and then you're the whole time saying just pardon him for doing it. It's like, yo, you've got someone who's shoved you up against the wall and put a blade to your neck, and then you said, you know, the only way out of this is if I allow you to do it.
Sounds like Alex Stein you're talking about. They pulled a knife on me on a show one time.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I'm saying
insane.
That the Democrats are engaged
in a joke. No.
Yeah, it was a joke, okay, but it was a real knife.
The Democrats have been engaged in hostilities against the populist right since Trump got elected, and the right has done nothing except for January 6th.
Maybe I'm crazy, man. I don't know if we're in the end. I don't know if this is like Revelation, if the Bible's real, if forgiveness is actually valuable, or if we're just tricked into thinking that kindness, compassion, and forgiveness is valuable.
It is, but it has to come from the people committing the acts.
It's only good in society.
Trump supporters have done nothing since Trump got elected.
If you only live as like, we're only going to get past this if you apologize. You never get to the apology.
What do we apologize for?
Yeah. It's a blanket. It's for everything they ever did.
For what?
I'm apologizing for Hillary's crimes before she has to.
But we're not
pushing for that. You
committed
a bunch.
Yeah, I'm not totally agree with Ian here. It's kind of ridiculous to pardon and or forgive as an offensive move. Whatever you think of Hillary, of course, I think she did bad things like a lot of you might. I don't think it's an offensive move, to say to her, we forgive you, we pardon you. What is the point of that? If that's kind of what, if I'm not mistaken, if he's implying that, yeah, I think he is. That's kind of weird, and I think Tim is correct to correct him on that. But, yeah, these conversations can actually get interesting. Let's see here. Okay.
A bunch of serious crimes and continue to wage lawfare against us while we sit back and do nothing, but we're going to apologize to you?
This is how you end up dead. This is how.
This is how.
Okay. Oh, anyway. Okay. So then, just give up everything.
I mean, what? The way to end up dead is by suggesting a pardon.
By constantly laying down and saying, "Hey, it's okay if you rain piss on us,
dude." What's your? I mean, what's the optional solution then?
The option is lawfare. Sue the absolute hell out of everyone that violates your rights.
But
sue
no, but it's Trump wins.
Fair enough.
Ballot, so Trump that lost by 42,000 votes. That's insane. It's like Trump lost in 2020 by 42,000 votes. Well, 0.00.
But did you tally the votes yourself? How do you know that that number was accurate? They give you a little bit. They give you a little piece. Like, it was 51-49. Don't worry about it.
You have to believe something.
I definitely don't believe vote tallies without seeing the code of the machines tallying the votes.
But now you're making different arguments that aren't part of the conversation. If Donald Trump lost by 42,000 votes across three states, then the best course of action right now is ballot harvesting, voter registration, and political rallying commercials, et cetera.
But I don't agree with the if. I don't believe that he won by 42,000 votes. I just haven't seen the proof. Well, you need to prove me and show me the data and the code of the tallies. I believe that proprietary companies own our voting machines.
So you think they stole it from Trump by hacking voting machines?
I think that it is undeterminable, and I'm not going to believe one or the other unless I see the proof one way or the other.
So this is the way it works. Your options right now are to be trampled and have your rights stolen from you and destroyed, to try to vote to win. Pick one.
What do you mean false binary?
What are you suggesting?
Are you advocating for not voting? Is that the are you advocating for? So I can understand.
Well, my point is that thinking that Trump's going to win is like a fantasy.
Thanks for watching this clip from the Timcast IRL podcast.
That is a point. I will give him that. Oh, Jim Jones is funny. Has that dude Ian been castrated? Both of my grandmothers would slap him. I think that's hilarious. Let me give you a little laughing emoji for that. That's funny. That is funny. Oh, man. No, I think he did make one point that could be the case here, right? That Trump won't win anyway. So what's the point? There's too much going against a Donald Trump victory in 2024 because of, election fraud, which happened before, and it could happen again. So that would be the only realistic response to the probability of that happening. I like these debates on Tim's shows. I really do. I think they get lively and interesting. And, I like all the players too. I really do. Which makes me want to. God, what was that one that I just saw? Stephen Gardner, that's a new person I'm following. Carlin Borisenko, she did go to a recent socialism conference. She always goes undercover. This last one was the same. And she always makes video reports about what her experience was. And it's pretty bad, she's saying, and I think she might be right, unfortunately. Conservatives are losing, and they will continue to lose because they don't really know what is actually going on. Yeah, because these socialism conferences, they pretty much lay out what their goal is, and they got, the sad thing is this agenda you know, whatever you want to call it, Marxist, anti-white, pro-black, pro-communist, whatever. Okay, AI, pro-AI, whatever it is, it's not dumb. They've been at this for decades, and they got the money. You guys, it isn't just because you get into it and you infiltrate. You could only infiltrate, well, not say you could only, but a lot of it is paying people off in money. Okay, right? I've mentioned that before. So, yeah, the conservatives who want to fight Marxism, the money aspect is there already. That's been happening, but how to fight it? You got to really know what's going on. That is true. I think some of them do. I don't know. Maybe some don't. And maybe that's correct. It cannot win against leftists because their opponents don't know the whole story of what's going on. But I don't know if she's 100% accurate on that statement either. Because I think some of these conservative talking heads, some of them do know, okay? I don't want to get too much into names. I would say, like, just generally, right? Maybe Dennis Prager, that's a maybe. I know some of you don't like him, whatever, it's fine. I can see why you don't, and that's cool. But I think people like Mark Levin and Charlie Kirk, as far as your standard conventional talking heads, conservative talking heads, they know about Marxism, and so I can't say they don't know, right? So I'm not really sure who she's addressing, whatever. But anyway, yeah, it is good to watch these socialists in action, you know, online. That's what she does, is she actually plays every Saturday. She got Socialism Saturday, so she'll play, you know, a video from some socialist. It's usually like a Zoom call, little get-together, little conference thingy. And, yeah, you get to hear, like, weird, long, drawn-out, boring talks, but then once in a while you will hear little interesting tidbits. Like, I think she exposed, I think, the president of the Library Association of the United States, and that lady did say in one of these videos that she wanted to make sure that libraries are a central focal point of disseminating socialism. So there you go. But we kind of already knew, right, that there was some of that going on in the libraries with this drag queen story hour. That's an outgrowth of it. But I guess they really want to make it the hub with what, the books? We kind of know that's already going on. But anyway, yeah, so that's that. I think I have a few more minutes of my show. Let's see. About 4 minutes. Yeah, so that's kind of what's going on, you guys. What? There's a movement to shrink Oregon and expand Idaho. I heard about this. I don't know about this. A new land rush in Wyoming. You guys, Wyoming, I've been there. It's pretty, but it gets damn cold in the winter. No, I wasn't there in the winter, but I don't want to be there in the winter. So if you, some of you can handle very cold weather, the Wyoming school, I can't handle it, so I'm not going there. I don't want to leave anyway, but I'm definitely not going to a place like that that is so damn cold. And I have enough trouble with the heat these days, but I can't handle that, though. Just because I can't handle excessive heat does not mean I'm going to run to a cold place. No, 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 no. Whatever. That's just me. Take it for whatever it is, okay? Yeah, Obama is the gay cokehead. Ah, I like that heading, Charlie Kirk heading. No, there is some truth to that, unfortunately. He is maybe our first gay president, but then I don't know preceding him, right? Who was gay? That's a hard question because in those days, right, even if you were a president and you were gay, you hid it very well in general, right? Because I think maybe in the old days, if somebody was president and they were gay and they were still having affairs, the exposing of an affair was maybe harder, maybe, right? because maybe the, quote, president knew where to go, where he knew whoever he was with had no real opportunity or power to expose him, right? So there's that kind of thing going on, right? So, you know, but now you could videotape and record people confessing things, so we're in a different era now. And that's why Obama has been a victim of modern technology, because now, like, this gay guy came out and said in an interview, yeah, we had a little fling like two times back in the 90s, right? So now is a different thing. But then sometimes now with technology, you can make up stuff and lie. There's that side of it too, right? Right? So I think we got 2 more minutes till the end of the show. So I want to thank you guys for listening. I really do. And I'll be back next Monday. What else? It's always kind of trippy when I know I'm towards the end here. And I got things I want to say, believe me. But then I'm thinking, which things do I say when I'm limited on time and that kind of thing? Oh, yeah, the weather here has been humid the last few days. But now it's starting, breezes are starting to come in. Thank God. You guys, I don't mind, like, heat or sun or heat, but man, humidity is horrible. And I'm lucky I'm in California, but I can only imagine living somewhere else where the humidity is even worse. And whoa, I can't do that anymore. I can't do humidity. I can't do extreme cold. Those are 2 things I can't do. Anything else is fine, really. But I think we're going, you know, I think this is national. We're going towards a cooling trend this week. So I think a lot of the country experienced a similar heat wave, right, this last few days or something, and we're supposed to be having a cooling down period. Yeah, you're welcome, Jim Jones. Thank you, everybody in chat, too, for participating. There's the music. This is Noreen Halpin, Wild at Heart, Roundtable Show. See you guys next week. Take care.
Natural Law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Alert, listen up now.
Tune to Warner with Chris Rolls.
0NE051.